This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Violence is, sadly, a fact of life in much of America. But for most of us, it's just headlines about tragic events that happen to other people, usually far away.
But the reach of random violence sometimes, maybe more often than we'd like to acknowledge, can creep uncomfortably close to us. That's one of the themes that runs through this next story.
I'm standing at 7th and I Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. It's right in the middle of Chinatown, big bustling neighborhood, and I'm a block away from NPR.
This is Annie Ropeek. She's a former intern who worked here at Radio Boston. The fact that she's with us at all to tell her story is the good news. But what happened to her when she was working as an intern for NPR 2 years ago is terrifying.
There's lots of people, a lot of interns in the summer, and definitely a busy area all times of day.
When Annie came to work for us, she was about to graduate from BU. She was a bright, eager young woman with one physical characteristic that was hard to miss. She walked with a limp and used a cane. Most of us didn't know why, and we didn't ask. But at the end of her internship, the staff took Annie out to lunch. And that's when she told us what happened to her. So here's Annie, who went back to D.C. this summer to recall what happened 2 years ago, just outside of NPR headquarters.
The first time that I drove by, I really built it up in my head, and I got pretty nervous just to see it again. But there was really no sign that anything happened here. I was planning to stay late at work that day, so I woke up late. Took the metro in to Gallery Place. I went to Starbucks, which I did almost every morning, and that's down the block. And then I crossed the street from the Starbucks, and I walked up 7th Street on the same side of the street. And when I was stopped at the crosswalk at I Street waiting for the light to change, I was attacked by a stranger who came up behind me and stabbed me in the back. I had my headphones in. I remember the band I was listening to was called Blind Pilot. And I was wearing jeans and like a striped linen blouse. And I had my bag on my shoulder, big leather bag, which actually later on we found some wounds in the bag itself. And we think that it may have protected me from further harm. I felt like someone was pulling my hair, kind of. And I tried to turn around and I couldn't, and I fell in the street. And at that point, I realized that I was bleeding badly from my neck and then my back. This woman was standing over me holding a little switchblade, probably 3 or 4 inches, black switchblade, staring down at me with it. And I remember thinking that sort of weirdly, objectively, that that was, you know, that was going to be it and she was going to kill me. She was a small African-American woman. She was wearing a vest and like a jean skirt. I remember I'd actually seen her across the street when I was crossing from Starbucks, just for like 1 second, the way you see any stranger passing you. And I remember just noting that she was wearing really tall heels for that early in the day. It was around 9:30 in the morning. And I don't think I made eye contact with her. I was wearing sunglasses. She just looked absolutely enraged. Then she dropped the knife and just kind of walked away toward NPR. I kind of rolled over and I was trying to crawl back toward the curb and I was screaming for help. I realized I had a wound in my neck right above my collarbone on the left side. There was an incredible amount of blood. It was just down to the curb. And it felt like a really long time before anybody helped. And I remember thinking for what felt like an extremely long time that nobody was going to help me. And finally, a guy came up. He called 911 and he held my hand. Another woman called my mom. I was kind of thinking still that I might die. I wasn't really sure what was happening. I was thinking a lot of things, and some of them were ridiculous, like I shouldn't have been late for work, or that this was not the band that I wanted to die listening to. I remember thinking that I was really sad that this had happened right in the middle of the very end of my project, which I'd spent all summer working on. I was very aware of everything. I mean, vividly aware of, like, the street that I was lying on. And imagine lying in the middle of a bustling city intersection on the asphalt, like lying in the middle of the crosswalk, almost in the street. It was sometime in there I realized that I couldn't feel my left leg or move it. It felt like, and it still does sometimes feel this way, when I'm lying on my back, it feels as though my knee is crooked up, because I think that that was the position it was in the last time that I could feel it. Turned out one of the 5 wounds that I had nicked my spine and cut it partially. So I'm not angry. People ask me that all the time, and I think they don't believe me when I say I'm not, but the woman was not well, and it wasn't her fault, you know, that she was not well. She should have been better cared for, and she shouldn't have been out on the street where this could have happened. But I could have been anybody, and I think in a way she also could have been anyone, if that makes sense. The most I could say is that it has been incredibly frustrating to just be at a certain point in your life. I was 20 years old when this happened, and in the middle of college, and I had a dream internship, and everything was going right, and it just changed a lot of things. And, you know, I'm still here, and I'm pretty much on the same track I would have been anyway, but it took a lot of work to get back there.
So today, 2 years later, Annie is still recovering from the attack, working regularly with a team of physical therapists. The multiple stabbing attack left wounds in her hip, her neck, and spine. It could have been a lot worse, but recovery has not been straightforward or easy.
She spent 5 weeks in the hospital and was forced to leave college for a while. Now she's graduated from Boston University, and she spent the past summer focusing full-time on her recovery.
And she's written about her experience on our health blog, Common Health, and she joins us now for an update. Hi, Annie.
Hi there.
So it's been a long, hard road to recovery these past 2 years, but we want to welcome you back. And we understand there's some recent good news. You've got a new job, right?
I do. I just started.
Tell us what it is.
I'm a news anchor and reporter at Cape Cod Broadcasting in Hyannis.
Town officials together to develop a plan. He says that could include volunteer spotters who watch for shark sightings. He also says towns may need to hire more lifeguards and have boats ready to deploy in the event of a shark attack. Sports and weather are next. I'm Annie Ropeek in the Cape Cod Broadcasting News Center.
Oh, congratulations, Annie.
Thank you.
But you're still doing physical therapy, right?
I am. I'm doing it once a week now, actually, commuting into Boston.
So what are you working on now with your therapist, then?
Well, we're actually sort of considering this to be the final phase of my outpatient experience. So instead of doing really, you know, regular intensive work like I've been doing for the past year or so at Boston Medical Center, I'm now looking at sort of a gym routine and things I can do in my own life, you know, indefinitely to kind of continue life as therapy.
And Annie, tell us what kind of mobility that you've regained through the physical therapy and what you're still trying to work on.
Well, after starting out at, you know, day zero with no mobility at all in my left leg, I'm now walking without my cane pretty much all the time. I'm trying to use it less, and I went through the whole, you know, every mobility aid you can think of, wheelchair to crutches to this cane for the past probably year and a half at least, and I'm now working on sort of finer tuning things, you know, walking faster and more stably, getting more strength back and sort of like smaller muscles and things like that. And I actually this summer started working on riding a bike at physical therapy, so that's our new big goal, is to ride a bike by myself. And I've done it for probably, you know, 10 seconds at a time. I can do it now, so we're working on it.
So you're learning how to ride a bike again. You're in your 20s. Is there anything that your therapists have told you that you probably won't ever be able to do again?
Well, the other half of my whole thing is that I don't have pain and temperature sensation in my right leg. And that is really not something that comes back with physical therapy, because it's the nerves really have to regrow as opposed to just learning how to do it a new way. So that comes back extremely slowly, years and years and years. So that could be in the rest of my life that is sort of slowly creeping back in. But as for my left leg, it's pretty much, you know, it slows down the further along you get, but I can walk fine now. It's just a matter of kind of getting it perfect and getting it to look more normal. You know, I look like I have a limp now, that kind of thing. But they haven't really said anything isn't going to come back for the left.
Annie, you know, we've been following your progress, and we're glad and heartened to hear how much progress you've made. But I want to ask you about sort of the legacy of this experience, how it's affected you 2 years later. You have a very sort of straightforward way of describing what happened to you physically. But what about emotionally?
Well, the 2 year anniversary was, you know, it was interesting to think about sort of how long and short of a time that felt like, and that was back in August. And, you know, it was before I had found out about this job. Everything happened pretty fast after that point. And so it was funny to kind of say, you know, I graduated from college and I really did make it out of the woods and kind of look at the rest of my life as pretty much as it would have been. That's sort of how I'm thinking of it, is nothing has really changed drastically about sort of the path I'm on, which, you know, I'm grateful for, and it's definitely interesting to see. But you know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like it's pretty far in the past now, and you know, moving forward.
Annie, but on the other hand, I wonder, when you look around at most people, definitely your fellow students at BU, even when you were interning here with us at Radio Boston, I mean, most people can't even imagine what you went through. So do you sort of look around and think you have no idea?
I do. It's hard because people can sort of sympathize, they can't understand really, or you know, and a lot of people do tend to ask me, you know, how could you, I can't imagine overcoming something like that, and they talk about things like that. And for me, you know, I never really felt like I had an option to not overcome it, but that's not something that I can make people understand if they haven't been through something like it. So that's, you know, and that continues to be hard, because every time I tell a new person about why I walk with this cane, it's sort of the whole process again of like, well, I don't feel as impressed by myself as I think people sometimes seem to be, but that's something I'm learning to figure out.
Well, Annie, again, it's good to hear you sounding so well. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
That's Annie Ropeek. She's a former intern here at Radio Boston and now a radio journalist on Cape Cod.